3 weeks ago, Barber in Huntersville faced a really big problem. He'd been serving for years and years his little local shop, virtually everybody in town. But then 3 weeks ago, one of these big franchise hair salons set up business right down the street and put up this big banner that said, "All haircuts, $3. And the barber realized he couldn't compete with that. If he cut his prices to $3, he just couldn't afford to do that. And he was going to go out of business. And so he hired a consultant to advise him as whether he ought to go out of business, because his business is going downhill. So he brought in his consultant, "Should I just go out of business?" So the consultant spent several hours in his shop and then went down the street and spent several hours in the franchise hair salon. The next week he came back to meet with the barber. The barber said, "Well, tell me, what should I do? Should I go out of business and report? Where's your report? I don't even see a report." And the consultant reached down the bag, pulls out this big banner that says, "We fix $3 haircuts." "We should take that banner and hang it out here. Because Jesus calls us and encourages us to fix $3 haircuts. To fix the results of the work of the false gods in our culture. To fix the results of those wayward ways that our world leads us. To fix the results of the prejudice and the judging and the dividing and the putting down that we see that is the value, it seems, of our society. And keeps our sisters and brothers and sometimes us from unlocking that potential that God put in us when He brought us into life. And to move us to live life to the full that Jesus promises us and wants for us, is life full of love and joy and peace and more. And that condition, and so many in our world, maybe even somebody sitting here this morning, maybe somebody you prayed for a few minutes ago, is why Jesus moves us to this core value. That we are to serve others as Jesus did. And why it is in our series that He brings to us to get fit with Spirit, the very first letter is S, which calls us to serve others. For it's by serving that we unlock human potentials. By serving that we offer life to the full for someone living on empty. Today, Jesus points us to the way that can happen for us and through us, as He points us to how He serves and then shows us how to serve as He did. Jesus does this through the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem. In fact, He's one day away from what we call Palm Sunday. Get ready to go into town. And He's been busy on the way to Jerusalem on this road. As you may remember, He's blessed children, and then He has this conversation with a rich young ruler to help guide his life. And then He has just healed a blind man named Bartimaeus and said, "What do you need?" And Bartimaeus said, "I want to see." And Jesus gives him new eyes. His eyes are open. It's been a busy day. So now Jesus is walking through Jericho, which is this major crossroads city, on his way to Jerusalem, which is 17 miles away. And he's surrounded by this big crowd of people, and they are attracted by his life-changing power. But amidst all these people, he points to one person. His encounter with that one person opens our eyes, like Bartimaeus' eyes, to see how he served and what happens when we do. Here's what we see. So Jesus entered Jericho, was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. Don't miss this. He was the chief tax collector, and he was very rich. Now, right there, I'm saying, let's take up an offering, right? He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was very short, the crowd was in his way. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up. He said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry on, come down, because I must stay in your home today." So Zacchaeus came down at once, and he welcomed me gladly into his home. Three dots there, with on the screen there, because we don't know what happened with his home, but we know what happened later. So then, you gotta love this. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's going to be with a guest of a sinner," or as the message says, "What business does he have in getting cozy with this crook?" But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possession to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this home, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "came to seek and to save the lost." Or as the message says, "For the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost." Zacchaeus was a traitor and a crook. One of the unfortunate things we do is we create this childlike version of Zacchaeus. Oh, Zacchaeus, we sing this silly, not silly, let's sing this little song about Zacchaeus. This is not Zacchaeus, friends. This is Zacchaeus. He was a hard-nosed traitor and a crook. He was a traitor because he was collecting taxes for the hated Roman occupiers of Palestine. Like me collecting tax from you to send to Russia. Or maybe that's not a good example. Let's pick Iran. That might be better. So, excuse that. I just could not help that. And what he does, because he has this power, he not, doesn't have authority to do this. He just does it. He charges big fee to collect your taxes. And so as a result of that, he was very rich. In fact, the authorities believe, looking at what was happening to Jericho, four interstates came from east, north, south, and west, right through Jericho. And you know what Zacchaeus did? Supposedly all the tax collectors did. They collect, now believe this, they collect a border tax. This is not new, this border tax thing. So he was hated. You see, Zacchaeus was rich in money, but he was poor in every other way. He had no friends. People crossed the street not to have, even have to look at this guy. He was an outcast and he was lonely. See, his heart was locked up in his love of money and locked up in his desire for power, control over people's lives. See, our world and our little world, we're filled with Zacchaeus, not necessarily the way in which his potential was locked up, but the way so many others are. I mean, think about our world. Families who are anger and bitterness and abuse and neglect, that's their family values. Holding grudges with each other. How it is that we are captive to our past. Your past is your present and your future, we say. You're stuck there. That we're captive to our bad decisions, our unhealthy habits that lead to these addictions to drugs and alcohol and pornography and to money and stuff and self. Young people dropping out of school. Dropping out of school to drop into what? Drop into hanging out and selling drugs. How is she going to make a living? And then dropping into prison and dropping out of life. Violence is a way of solving our disagreements and our arguments. We're captive to solving agreements only by hitting somebody. There are so many in our people in this world who have no hope. They're captive to hopelessness. They're captive to not seeing a vision, a better vision for their lives. It's a long list. But Jesus knows. It doesn't have to be that way. What Jesus knows is we can unlock and set free this potential that God has given. We can cut loose the chains so people can live out the potential God gave them when they breathe life into their life. To live life to the full that he wants for them, that we also want for ourselves. So today, Jesus is going to point us to his steps to serve and save. The first one is to seek and save those whose lives seem to be lost. Now, there are these words that Jesus uses, and don't miss this. He proclaims his purpose for life and yours too. What's the purpose of Jesus? To seek and save the lost. He said, that's why I came. That's why you came into this world. Now, to understand what Jesus is talking about, we got to understand those two words, to seek and to save. Well, we're all going to learn some Greek today. Y'all okay with that? See, I'm going out. I want to be sure you're fluent in Greek, okay? Okay, so the word that Luke uses for seek is zetio. Y'all say that? Zetio, that's good. So that word seek, interestingly, is the exact same word that Luke uses when he says Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. That word means discover. So Zacchaeus wants to discover who Jesus is. And Jesus wants to discover how in the world did Zacchaeus get this mess in his life. Jesus wants to discover with him together how they can get him out of this mess and unlock that potential that God breathed into his life. Truth is, Jesus knows what is possible for Zacchaeus because he knows what's in, he knows what's in Zacchaeus' life and yours and mine. So what this is something a very wise third grade girl learned and taught. So she was in her class, and the teacher made this out of clay. What's this look like, y'all? She made the thing. And she said to the class, what is this? The class says, excellent class. So then she took this angel, and she wadded up. Sorry about this, Paige. Wadded up. And she held this up and said, what is this? And the class said, a lump of clay. Except one third grade girl said, no, it's not. No, it's not. That's an angel hidden in a lump of clay. Y'all be bothered by that the whole time.
I know how you work. That's more interesting what's going on up there.
So what Jesus knows is in every person is this hit is an angel. Because what Jesus knows, what you know, you're not going to remember one thing I ever told you up here, but there is one thing you're going to remember, and I want you to tell it, and that is every person is what?
All right. I can go in peace. Well done.
But the problem is for many, that angel, that precious child of God, is crumpled up by life. Something to do to themselves. Some stupid decision. Some action they take. Some direction they take. Sometimes somebody takes that angel and they crush it up. Themselves. Sometimes just our circumstances do that. So Jesus urges us. He pleads with us. He begs us today, man. You look out that door. Jesus is not saying, let's go do that. No, he's pleading with us to serve like he did with Zacchaeus. To do what it takes to discover, to Zetio, to see, to discover, to learn about that hidden angel in everybody's life. That precious child of God that's gotten locked up somehow, and help this person work through this to get that angel out. But here's the but. But to do this, we can't see sitting in these blue chairs. You can't go home and sit in your house and seek to serve someone to save their life. What we have to do is get out of our comfort zone, and I mean way out of our comfort zones, to discover someone whose potential is locked up, whose angel's been crushed up and no one can see anymore. Jesus got out of his comfort zone. You catch that? Well, what did he do? So he's surrounded by this adoring and admiring crowd, and yet he sought out the one person they all hated. And when he did, what did they do? They started to mutter and grumble and said, what's his business of cozying up to that crook? That's what it means to get outside of your comfort zone. When somebody says about David Farr back there, raise your hand, David. So David's a guest, and they go to Myers Park. So every time, told the ushers and greeters, when they pass up, the basket that way, pass it back the same way. That's what we do to Myers Park people. But suppose if David will have arrived and somebody says, what is David Farr doing hanging out with that crook? That's getting out of your comfort zone. Sorry about that, David. You'll be back, won't you? Oh, sir. That's what we do around here. Next pastor probably won't be with us. Harry will be back anyway. So what Jesus does is he calls us to get outside of our comfort zone to discover the hidden angel and then to work together to get it out. When we do, then we're doing Jesus' business. People say, what's his business in cozying up this crook? Well, what is his business? To save Zacchaeus' life. And that word is another Greek word, sozo. Y'all say that? Sozo. So sozo means to heal and make whole and restore. When Jesus said, I've come to seek and save the lost, we all say, oh yeah, they're going to send their soul to heaven. That is what Luke is talking about here. And we hope that's the ultimate outcome. What Luke is talking about here and Jesus is talking about here is finding a way to heal whatever sickness, whatever it is, that's getting in the way of their angel. To make whole, to bring together those shattered pieces of someone's life and bring them back together. So we can now see the angel. It's not all shattered all over the place. And to restore this person to the very person, that precious child of God, that God breathed life into and had so much hope for. Jesus shows us how to do this with the second step to serve and to save, which is to sup. Yeah, I'm going to get to that. That's not a Greek word. That's a southern word. To sup and to cozy up, to take whatever time to take to discover that hidden angel, and together to unlock it and set it free to live. Isn't this beautiful, powerful words Jesus is saying this morning to us? Jesus calls up to Zach, Zach, come on down. Now right there, Jesus had a choice, the same choice we have when we see this crook that Jesus calls us to. So what he could have done is he could have lectured Zacchaeus. He could have listed all his sins and he could have shamed him and guilted him, and judged him and condemned him. And you know what? The crowd would have loved it, wouldn't they? Yeah, that guy, boy, he's getting it now from the preacher. Right? But Jesus did not come, and neither do we, to please the crowd. Jesus came to please God. And you and I, we're called to please Jesus by serving as he did, not scolding. So between the seeking and the saving has to come the supping. We miss that because I just put three dots in there. So that word sup is not a Greek word. It's a southern word, and it means eat an evening meal. In other words, to break bread together. Now, don't miss this. Jesus has been out here. He's been working all day. It's hot, tired at the end of the day. He's ready to sup. He's ready to have what we used to call in the South, supper. J&J, you remember when lunch was dinner, and dinner is now supper. Yeah, it's all mixed up now. Now dinner is dinner, and lunch is lunch, and whatever happened to supper. So what happened is that Jesus wants to eat supper with Zacchaeus and his family. Why is that? Because he's going to spend time with Zacchaeus breaking bread together in this informal setting and begin to know each other. So that see how they're talking and eating, and boy, that's the way to do it. To come together and to share life together in his home, on his home turf. So that Jesus and Zacchaeus can get together so we can get that hidden angel out of Zacchaeus. So I suspect, we don't know what happened here, but I suspect that after dinner it got to be late and they spent time, Zacchaeus finally got rid of that crazy turban and they sat down and talked all night long. Because sometimes it takes a long time. You know, Jesus said, I come to stay at your house, not just to pass by. So whatever time it took, Jesus took it so that he began to discover the hidden angel to get it out. So, I have this folder in my office about this thick of stories. And most of them, many of them, are stories about how this is true. That when we take time to be with someone and to learn about them and to listen to them and to find a way to get out their hidden angel, their precious child of God, there's a lot of that works. It happens. But I'm not going to do that today. Instead, Jesus nudged me to do something else today. I had a great story lined up. I've never shared with you. I was going to do it. And Jesus said, no, you're not. And the way Jesus did this is he sent me to the Foundation for the Carolinas dinner. The way this happened is Sally and I always go to this. It's a fantastic luncheon. 1,500 people. They're all mainly philanthropists and movers and shakers and stuff. They always have this great speaker. Well, this year, Sally's not going. And the speaker didn't sound very relevant to me. But something caused me to go. Write a check to go. By the way, you write a check to get to go. Not shocking in a philanthropic organization. And so I took Mike Slaughter with me, which turned out to be a blessing. I don't need to go into that in any detail. So what happened is that Jesus opened up to me this story of this man. Man's name is Adam Foss. Anybody know Adam? Anything about him? You should. Go to his TED Talk. Listen to it. So this is Adam. receiving one of his many awards. I love this one. This is called the Disturber of the Year Award. They brought him into the Foundation for Carolinas as a thought leader. This is Adam telling his story. I'm telling you, this man can tell a story about himself. But this is Adam that's encouraging us for his story to be yours. So Adam began this way. This week, I had a startling experience, he said. A few days ago, he lives in Boston. A few days ago, I read in the Boston newspaper a little article about a man who staggered out on the street. He'd been badly wounded with a knife. And he cried out, "Please don't let me die. Please don't let me die." And a cab stopped. It was too late. It's already dead. A few days later, just before he came to the Foundation for Carolinas, that's why it was on his heart, they printed the name of this person. He said, "I realize I helped kill him. Because when I was starting out as a district attorney, I met this man. And I remember him because I remember in my mind, you know, there's hope for this guy. What I did as a prosecutor is I gave him a come to Jesus speech, like, buddy, you can do it, just buck up," and sent him naively off to prison, assuming that he would be saved in prison. Adam said, "But you go to prison and you're a black man, you come out, you're already dead. You can't get a job. There's no place you're going to live. Nobody's going to accept you. And so what are you going to do? You're going to go back to the old neighborhood with your old friends, to your old ways, and eventually you're going to commit a crime, and you're going to go back to prison if you're lucky, because otherwise you're probably going to be dead like the person that I sent away." Adam said, "I should have known better, because I almost died." Now, I'll never forget that day. I was standing looking at a Boston police officer, and I was handing this big wad of cash wrapped in a rubber band. Handing it to him. It's the money I'd made selling marijuana all summer. And also with handing him over the marijuana I hadn't sold yet. And I said at that point, I didn't really fully understand it, but I was looking over a cliff, a precipice, and I was about to die. My life was about to be over. For all the reasons he just described. And he said, "I didn't die. You know why? Because the police officer was my father, and he was white, and we were standing in my driveway. My father turned me in to the police. You know what happened? Nothing. Because my father had, yeah, brace yourself, he had white privilege because I won the lottery. I was a little kid. This white man, police officer, and his white wife hairdresser adopted me and moved me out of the ghetto to the suburbs. And his white privilege went with me down to the station. And his privilege as a man that was trusted and honored shielded me from dying. I don't know if my father did it expressly or not, but his white privilege and his police officer privilege saved me from dying. Instead of going to prison, I went to college. After college, I went to law school. After law school, I became a district attorney, which I should have remembered that day when I almost died, when somebody else came in, that there was hope for their life. But over time, I learned that we didn't have to send everybody to prison. And so what Adam has done is taken his police officers and the judges and the prosecutors in Boston, now it's across the country, to have this program where they look into someone's life and they don't even charge them yet, and develop a way to spend time. He spends time with these young, mainly black men, talking through their life, discovering how they got to where they are. Sound familiar? Discover that inner angel, that he didn't use that word, and this precious child of God living in there, and then working out a way that he doesn't have to die. And Adam turned to this audience of 1,500 people and said, "You are privileged. Yeah, you're mostly white. You're very privileged. But you're also educated. You're a philanthropist, so therefore you give money to people so people like you. You got power. So what I encourage you to do is to use your privilege, the blessings you've been given, to get out of your comfort zone, to be led to someone, to get to know a young man or a young woman, to see the potential in them, and use your privilege as a shield to protect them from dying. And use your sword of compassion, which obviously all of you have, to cut away the stuff that got them in that place." The last thing he said is, "My friends, please don't let them die. Please don't let them die." That's what Jesus says to us. Save the people in your life from dying. You and I have a special privilege. We're followers of Jesus. We've committed to serve him as he did. We have this shield of faith, which is a privilege. It's a privilege because we know that our faith tells us that everyone is a precious child of God, that everything is possible with Jesus, and lives can be changed no matter how hopeless, how balled up in a lump of clay they seem to be. And we've got the privilege of this sword of love. This sword of love that can cut through all the hate and the stuff that got in the way of getting them there and setting them free. Wow! Unlocking that hidden angel and letting it live. Truth is, for us, they all come together like this. Because our sword is the cross. It's the way that you have been loved. It's the way your life has been saved. Jesus, take that sword of love and cut away all that stuff. And somebody in your life that is balled up in a lump of clay. You know this happens. Because you saw a person stand up here last week. Her name is Zaina. Zaina, where are you still here? You left us. Where is Zaina? She's asleep on Brandy's shoulder. How nice is that? I'm going to take that lily back that I gave you last week. Now, I know you're listening. She said, "I'm listening." Sure you are. So Zaina testified to how five families in this family here took her into their home, into their life, to learn what makes Zaina tick, to find out how they can unlock in her this hidden angel in her life. And man, she is blossom. I can say I get an amen from you from this Zaina into this beautiful angel. You say amen to that? Did everybody else join me in that?
Yeah.
It happens. But I'm just going, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but this is probably one of the easiest things in the world for these families to welcome them in. Who's that? Who's that you got your house today? She's not the only one. Get out of your comfort zone. You do. I'm really special. You can serve as Jesus did. Open up, move all that clay out of the way, unlock the hidden meaning of somebody's life. So I knew I could not finish today without a song. I'm not going to sing one next week, but I am going to sing one on Easter.
You got that.
So I was led to this. It just came to me. I don't know how this happened, but this stuff just comes to me. Jesus said you got to sing because you got to rewrite the song. So I will follow this person who wrote this. I did keep chorus. I changed everything. Y'all ready? There is a bomb in Gilead. Oh, reference! Where are we sitting, folks? So this song is about you. The bomb of Gilead came from a place called Gilead. It wasn't in Huntersville, I'm sorry to say. But it cured all kinds of diseases and healed all kinds of wounds. That's why this song got written by Jeremiah. For Jeremiah. There is a bomb in Gilead that makes the wounded whole. There is a bomb in Gilead that heals the sin-sick soul. In every life there's someone whose heart is wrapped person that Jesus wants to send you to can end up just like that. Or, if you seek to serve, you end up like that. Which would you prefer?